Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely, lovely Friday in the San Francisco Bay, and it is lovely. Dan, the Produce Man here, and today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Sunrays Snack with Impact. Oh yes, folks, we're in between rainstorms here in California. We have some coming early next week. We just got out of some. Fields are underwater and flooded, and some are frozen. It's just a mess out there in the fields. And today, my guest is Armand Lobato, the produce aisle with Armand Lobato. Armand, welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays.
Thank you, Dan. I'm glad to be here.
Good. What do you think of all this? It's crazy right now, huh? All this
weather. Well, all that you're describing, Dan, it sounds like just another normal day in the produce business.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I was telling somebody the other day, I almost missed the drought days here in California because things weren't underwater so much. And we're going to have setbacks like we had last year. We had setbacks last year in planting and growing, and it looks like the pictures that I've received from different growers, it looks like we're going to deal with that again this year.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it is reflective of what growers go through, and many an ad or supply issue is directly related to good old Mother Nature.
Sure, and when you compound all this adverse weather along with inflation, you're going to see it at the grocery stores and in food service as well. So just folks, hang on tight. We'll try and get through this. So right. Armand writes for The Packer, folks. The produce aisle is his column. And I like all your articles, but your latest article, Make a Great First Impression with Prime Produce Displays, is absolutely real. And then a quote from you right at the top, the entrance strategy is actually more important than the exit strategy. And that's true. You got to make that good first impression at all hours that you're open.
Yeah, and it's not an easy thing to do. And the easiest thing for grocers to do is not do it. You know, the easiest thing a grocer can do is just the bare minimum, where they have a produce department and, you know, they don't take any risks at all. They just have their tables and their refrigerated cases, and it's all minimally stocked, and there's no pizzazz or excitement, and they don't take advantage of any other space in the store. And so a lot of times when a customer walks in, you know, they walk by those bins of canned goods up front or chip displays, and, you know, not only do they not buy that stuff, but a store's not gaining any sales or related gross profit from it either. And you need to drive sales to keep the doors open and pay all the bills.
Yep, that's right. That's what I was going to say. Mediocre displays and selection equals mediocre profit margins and sales. That's all there is to it. So,
right.
And we see a lot of it. And I've talked about this with Ross Nelson last week. I've talked about it last month with Ron Pelger. A lot of the bigger grocers, they're just not putting the effort into the produce departments. And a lot of produce departments are front and center. They're right there when you walk in the door. So you got to do something. And I've seen a lot, especially for the after work shopper, a lot of rundown departments. So it's a tough gig with labor and
sure
pricing and everything else. It just isn't the way it was. And I'm not trying to say, hey, back in our day, but it's true. Everybody worked their butts off and really made beautiful displays and kept the stands full.
Well, I'm fortunate that the Packer produce newspaper, you know, gives me a voice and has for the past 16, 17 years, where I can write a weekly column and talk about these things. And on that particular column, I even inserted a photo from a display that we made at one store that we were working on, and it was the entrance to the store. And, you know, when you walk into the into a store like that and you have beautiful, beautiful produce, you know, laid out on just a few tables, you know, that's a signal right off the bat when a customer enters a store that you're in the produce business. And right. It's a preview for what lies beyond that entrance display. So if they start, because so many people, you know, they go in wanting to buy fresh fruits and vegetables, and right away, if they see beautiful bell peppers or romaine hearts or whatever it is you put up front, and right away they're thinking dinner options, you know, maybe it's
exactly,
salad for that night or stuffed peppers or something, you know, at least you get the wheels turning.
Certainly. And you're right. That is a beautiful photo. And those sub displays right when you walk in the door, that is, yeah, that's the magic key, as you say. I used to have people come into my store all the time and say, "Hey, Dan, what am I having for dinner tonight?" And it was great, you know, and I would take them around. Of course, the displays were always stocked and full and everything was fresh. That's why so many people shop there. But they would leave very happy. So you're right. They are coming in. They are looking for ideas for dinner. Not everyone maps out their dinners. I mean, I had one customer that used to come in, this lady, and she would always say, "Well, now, Thursdays we have beef roast, and on Fridays we have fish, and on Saturdays we have chicken." And she had it mapped out, and that's what they had every single week. I mean, it was planned out. This is years before spreadsheets and everything else. And then she would come and get the vegetables that she would add to those. But not a lot of folks do that. Yeah, you might defrost something before you go to work, you know, so that it's ready when you get home. You may change your mind on the way home. As well, you may just pick up a bag salad and throw it into a bowl and say, "Okay, I think I'm just going to have this tonight." So, yes, spontaneity is huge in fresh produce. So wherever you can put it, put it.
Yeah, it's a rare person that has specifics, even if they have a list. I've swept up a lot of floors over the years, you know, because we had to do our own share of tidying up and swept up a lot of shopping lists. And they may detail other things in the store, but when it came to produce, it was usually under the produce heading, it might say fruit and stuff for a salad. Well, that leaves it wide open for impulse sales. And you're right. I mean, you may find somebody that's so regimented that they know exactly what they're going to do on any given day. But most of the time, they're open for suggestion, you know, because people like variety and flavor, and the produce department's a great place to do it. I remember once a shopper was in, and she just had like a sort of a confused or lost look on her face, and I struck up a conversation with her, and I said, "Well, are you okay?" And she said, "Oh, I just don't know what to make." And I could tell she just got off work, she's probably got a couple teenagers at home, and you know what to make, and something that's fresh and nutritious but also convenient and tasty and everything. And I said, "How about stir fry?" And she said, "Stir fry?" And I said, yeah, all you need for stir fry is a little bok choy and some napa. And she said, "Oh, I can't buy a big thing like that." And I said, "You don't have to, because, you know, we always sold those things per pound."
Sure.
So I demonstrated, and I broke off a couple of ribs of bok choy, and I cut a napa cabbage in about at half or even quarters. And she said, "That's perfect." And I said, "Yeah, now, what else we need for stir fry?" And, you know, we literally shopped the wet rack looking for stir fry items, snap peas, green onions, mushrooms, celery. I mean, broccoli, florets. I mean, and before you know it, she had about a third of her hand cart filled up with produce. And I said, "Now you can add the protein if you want. You go to the produce or the meat department. They sell cubed up pork or beef or nothing or no meat, you know, depending on what you like. And, you know, a little peanut oil, and you just stir that all together, a little soy sauce, make a little rice on the side, and you're going to be a hero tonight. And she was so excited because that's how easy it is to do stir fry.
And you taught her something.
Yeah. And so, and I encouraged her to just buy a few ribs of this and a few ribs of that, because, you know, so many people look at that bok choy and, you know, they don't need the whole thing necessarily, but if you tell them, hey, it's okay to break it off, or if you have a little display with a few ribs on the side, sort of like a lot of stores do with celery, then that encourages them to buy it that way. And who knows, next time they'll buy the whole thing, you know, just because they'll use it.
Sure. They may have friends over or the family or whatever it is. But, you know, that does help your bottom line. It helps your sales, because she will always remember you, what you did. And they'll come back to you for that, too. And then, the fruit and everything else. Well, I want to go to the store where Armin works because, you know, he knows his stuff. And that's so rare in the produce departments today, in a lot of the major chains, at least here in the Bay Area, the immediate Bay Area. I go to some chain stores here in the produce department, has no one in there that knows what they're doing, and it's run down. But then I go out further so I'm in Alameda County. If I go out further, even in the Contra Costa County, which is the next county east of the Bay Area, up on the Delta, and further in, the produce departments are completely different. They're filled up. They have more knowledgeable people. And, of course, the independents. I was in a Molly Stone's market near Sausalito, California. Sausalito's kind of a ritzy, in fact, is a ritzy area. Talking about $30 million homes and things.
Oh, my gosh.
On the side of Marin County on the coast there. But I was in a Molly Stone's market, which is an independent chain here in the Bay Area. My goodness, I took pictures. I still have to post them up. I've just been behind on a lot of things. Absolutely beautiful. Everything's stocked, full, fresh. There were like four people in the department. And you know, this was right around 4:30, getting ready for the afternoon rush. So helping your customers, sampling things, if you can, if your store will allow it, is always a good way to get them to buy things, because they don't know. A lot of folks don't know. You know, Armand, you and I know, right?
Right.
When I had my store, my wife would tell me, she would say, Dan, don't expect them to know the stuff that you know. You have to teach them. And it's true. You know, you and I don't know how to program a banking system or whatever, but those are the people that come in. They do that. They don't know produce.
Right. Yeah, I've seen people dressed in, you know, $500 suits and standing in front of a cantaloupe display, and they're perplexed. They have no idea how to pick a good cantaloupe. And not to say that they're not intelligent or anything. But it is up to produce people to help educate them. And interacting with people is absolutely, to me, part of a produce manager or clerk's job. I mean, you don't have to stand there and exchange life stories, because then you don't get any work done. But it's casual conversation. Hi, how are you? Can I help you find anything? Oh, you're looking at those mangoes. Do you buy mangoes? Have you ever tasted one? And you show them how to cut it, because, you know, it's a little challenging for people, especially towards the, you know, that aren't on the coastal areas, and they're wonderful. They're tasty, and they're really easy to. They're the single biggest fruit eaten in the world, but not in the United States. And so it's once you show somebody how easy it is to cut and prepare, you know, and taste. But any conversation that you initiate with somebody, I mean, that's just good business, you know, because you're right. Then they say, I'm going to go back to Dan's store because he knows what's in season. He knows what's good, because I think I've heard that at many family gatherings where they say, I would eat more fruits and vegetables if I only knew what was good this time of year.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm helping a guy in the Bay Area here with his food service produce company. And I went into a prospect yesterday, sat down with her, and she said, Dan, I wouldn't even entertain talking to a different produce company than the company that I am buying from now if it wasn't you. because she remembered me from my market and the customer service that we provided there. So, yes, folks, it's all about customer service. Armin Lobato is our guest, and he writes the produce aisle in the Packer. We're going to hear from our sponsors and be right back after this. Don't go away.
In the morning, I always pour a cup of coffee and grab a banana. Before Equifruit, I never thought twice about how my banana was farmed. And now that I'm a banana badass, I care about fair trade, which ensures fair pay, gender equity, and safe working conditions. This is why Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
I love grapes.
Whoa, what's this?
Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, Sunrays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunrays grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
Folks, welcome back. Fresh from the field Fridays. Well, it could be wet from the field Fridays, as we discussed in the last segment. Armin Lobato is here with me, and Armin not only writes for the Packer, he is also promotions director for the Western Region for the Idaho Potato Commission. And February is Potato Lovers Month, and that starts 1 week from today. And Armin, I still have my round red button that you would wear on your apron from the 1980s when I worked at Fry's Food Stores that says February is Potato Lovers Month.
That's right. It's a very long promotion. It's been around for decades. And the Idaho Potato Commission is really the leader, obviously, in the potato business. Idaho grows the majority of potatoes in the United States, 1/3 of the potatoes to be exact, and
wow.
Which represents, I think this year, something like 330,000+ acres. So it's a tremendous amount of potatoes.
A lot of eyes, so, too.
Yes, the eyes have it. Yes, yeah. There's a lot of puns there with potatoes, everything from spectator to... To educator, or no, that's not a tater, but it's but you get the drift there. It's,
the edutator. How's that sound?
Yeah, there you
that's
go.
That's what you are, an edutator.
I'm an agitator, yeah, but lots of peelings. Yeah, I've got a lot of peelings towards potatoes. So all those really bad dad jokes and puns out of the way, yeah, the Idaho Potato Commission is obviously very, very proud of its tradition. And many years ago, this started because, you know, potatoes are a storage crop. We harvest one time a year. And so right about the middle of the winter, when there's not, in the produce department for the longest time, there wasn't a lot happening in the middle of winter. You know, we still months away from stone fruit and grapes and so on.
Sure.
Or local or
asparagus.
Anything like that. So the idea came around to promote potatoes because they are nutrient dense, very healthy, heart healthy, very popular, flavorful, versatile, you name it. They checked pretty much all the boxes for potatoes. So February was chosen as February or as Potato Lovers Month.
Wow.
And so it's mostly retail, of course, but it's also food service as well. And but if you go to our website, it's idahopotato.com. It's highlighted there, and retailers can absolutely take part in promoting Idaho potatoes. It's the biggest single display contest in the produce business. So that's saying a lot.
Stack them high and sell them cheap, folks.
That's right. So we literally get thousands of entries, and we have really cool prizes just for entering. So it's definitely worth a look-see. And if they need any more information, they can contact the Idaho Potato Commission or their director or our regional representatives. So, and they're all listed in our website, idahopotato.com. And, you know, potatoes are absolutely a mainstay. They've sustained entire civilizations. I rarely meet anybody that says they don't like potatoes. In fact, it's probably the least expensive item on a plate. And right now, with food prices being so high and inflation being so bad right now, potatoes are often a go-to item for both consumers on the retail side and for food service too. It's the least expensive item on a plate. So you increase that potato serving just a little bit and reduce that protein side just a little, and your average restaurant operator will save a small fortune.
Folks, 650 milligrams of potassium in the average, probably what, a 60
medium
count,
size.
Maybe?
Medium-sized potato is vitamins, minerals, very high in vitamin C, more potassium than a banana. And of course, sometimes we get a pushback that people say, well, they're fattening or the starch or whatever.
No, the carbs is what they're talking about. But those are healthy carbs.
Yeah, there's... Right, they're healthy carbs. We need carbs. You talk to any health professional, and they'll tell you that's how our bodies are fueled by carbs.
Your brain as well.
We need good carbs. You know, a can of Coke is a bad carb by extreme comparison. And so
white bread, but things like that.
Yeah,
a spud.
Sure.
Man.
But a potato, I always tell people, it's like the millennial falcon. It doesn't look like much on the outside, but it's got it. But it has it where it counts, you know. So it's zero fat, low calorie. In fact, if you eat potatoes without adding a lot of other stuff to it, like butter, sour cream, and bacon, and everything, then you can actually even lose weight eating potatoes if you're and still feel full and satisfied. So.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, potatoes.
We talked about
it before.
Potatoes, not Prozac. The book by Catherine de Limon. It's amazing what the potato can do. She recommends eating a potato before you go to bed at nighttime if you're suffering from depression or even alcoholism and things of that nature. So potatoes are, but that at the same time, they make vodka out of potatoes too. So you don't want to go that route. But, you know, depending on what you do to the potato, yes. I mean, if you, you know, fry it all up in all kinds of oils and things, well, then you're adding fats. But, you know something, Armand, I made a video, several years ago, because our good buddy Ron Pelger was going to be talking at the Idaho Potato Commission annual meeting or sales meeting or something of that nature. And he asked me to make a video, but I never liked how the video turned out, so I never sent it to him and never used it, right? But in there, I do, and I'll have to pull just that part out. I do take a nice big Idaho russet potato, and I do bake it, and instead of putting on sour cream and bacon and all this other stuff and butter, I use some extra virgin olive oil, not a lot, maybe a tablespoon or maybe less, some hummus, and a few other really healthy items, and it turned out really, really good. So I'll have to dig that out and post that up for Potato Lovers Month.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. We have roughly 2,000 recipes on our website. And, of course, not all of them are like the real healthy version like you're describing, but we have plenty of healthy recipes too. So, and, healthy prepared, that is. But you're right. I mean, potatoes are everybody's favorite. I mean, they can, and they come in, you know, fresh form and also frozen and dehydrated. And of course, we always talk fresh, but sometimes those other, you know, frozen or dehy are, you know, make a lot of sense for people too, you know. In fact, one of my favorite dishes when our kids were growing up was my wife, we'd get towards the end of the month, and she would make what I would call the once around the kitchen casserole, where whatever we had went into this casserole. and then she topped it off with tater tots and a little cheese and put it in the oven. And you know, I don't think any two recipes were exactly the same, but they were always good, you know, and potatoes were the topper for that. So
there
it's,
you go,
it's just, folks. Yeah,
for your budget, you know, right there.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
It takes it a long way. You get rid of the leftovers, yeah. and you have something new with it. You know, I was so impressed, Armin, when I went to Idaho back in September with the harvest of the potatoes and all everything that went into it, and the families, and the fact that they let the kids out of school for 2 weeks to help with a harvest. I went to facilities where people are hand sorting the potatoes and taking all the funky stuff out. And then I went to another one where these gigantic, scary looking robots doing it. I mean, it was just, the whole thing was absolutely amazing. But what really, really, really impressed me the most in the operation was the people, the camaraderie. It was just absolutely impressive. It was beautiful to experience.
Yeah, it's definitely a community effort throughout the whole state of Idaho. And most of the potatoes are grown in the southern part along the Snake River Valley. And there are hundreds of Idaho potato growers, and they're all family owned and operated. And those hundreds of growers will feed into shipper companies that pack the potatoes, and they're stored in these big storage units. And it's nothing fancy. They're just enormous sheds that are well ventilated, and they turn out the light and they control the temperature. And that those potatoes are amazing. They will store in those sheds between late August all the way into the following summer, when we completely exhaust our supply. So it's and they come out of those sheds just as good as the day they were harvested. And so it's a real unique vegetable that Mother Nature makes. And you know, it's very simple, but they've also used a lot of complex strategies along the way as far as storage and handling and equipment, like you're talking about. And you're right, they hire a lot of school kids, mostly high school age, that can drive and go out there, and it's all hands on deck to get that harvest in, because they'll start picking in late August, and by early October they try to beat the first frost, get all those potatoes put away for the winter.
Wow, it's beautiful, and some of those farms have been there for well over 100 years. Armin Lobato is our guest today, and get out there. If you're a retailer in the produce department, produce manager or produce clerk, check out the Idaho Potato Commission for that contest and see what kind of prizes you can win, and stack them up, that's for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of creativity out there, so we want to see it.
Armin Lobato, thank you for joining me today here on Fresh from the Field Fridays. You can read Armin Lobato in the Packer, the produce aisle, and you can get a hold of him at the Idaho Potato Commission as well. Thanks again, Armin.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, folks, be sure to tune into the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. Download that now on your phone, on your tablet, on your watch, wherever you can download apps to. And check out the History of Produce series with John Papp, the Global Fresh series with Juanita Gallio, and of course, my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at dantheproduceman.com. Hey folks, until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.